We're starting a brand new series today that I'm really excited about. And it's great because it deals with the idea of the resurrection. And of course, today is the celebration day. Every Sunday is, but today more than ever, right? We celebrate the resurrected Christ. But we're going to be talking over the next couple of weeks about how the resurrection really affects us. And I was thinking about this. I know that a lot of you that maybe if you don't go to church normally or if you haven't been in a while, you might be thinking in your mind, okay, I get it. You know, Jesus came back to life, but what's the big deal? And how does that affect me? Well, that's the question I want to answer today. Because the resurrection affects everything, certainly our relationships. And over the next few weeks, we're going to walk through relationship after relationship and talk about how the resurrection affects us so very much. If you happen to bring a Bible with you today or you have a copy on your phone, would you find Mark chapter 16? It's the story of the resurrection, and it's kind of where we want to start out today. Mark chapter 16. You realize that on Friday, many of you were here for Good Friday. Thank you for celebrating with us. But on Friday, Jesus was crucified. We just saw the video of it, and the video doesn't really portray it all completely, but you got an idea of it. You see the cross that's a symbol behind me. It was a horrible and painful death, the beating, the nails in Jesus' hand. But as we talked about on Friday, what was the worst was that God laid all the sin of the world. I don't know if you can think about this, but everything that ever had happened, all the way back to Adam, all the way forward until the return of Christ, was laid on Jesus. And Jesus paid the price for our sin. God poured out His wrath, His anger on His Son, who was bearing our sin. If you ever wonder why the cross is so ugly, so brutal, so painful, it's because God is just. And Jesus was paying the full price, like the whipping boy. He was paying the full price for our sin. The Bible talks about that in Isaiah 53. You may know this passage. It says, Jesus was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the chastening for our well-being fell upon Him. And by His scourging, we're healed. Jesus suffered and bled and died. And as you may know, the world expressed itself. There was an earthquake. The temple veil, this big veil was ripped in half. There was darkness. And Jesus is dead in the tomb. It's kind of where we leave off on Friday. But then we pick it up in Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might come and anoint Him. Very early, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And He said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who has been crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. Go and tell His disciples and tell Peter. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. And there you will see Him just as He told you." Friday was a hard day and death had come, but now Jesus had risen. He'd risen just like He said He would. As we read in the story, Mary Magdalene, she was the woman that Luke recorded had seven demons. She was possessed with seven demons and Jesus delivered her. She was there, and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, they were all there. They couldn't wait until daybreak. They couldn't wait till the time after the Sabbath. It was as soon as they could go to the tomb to show their proper respect by anointing the body of Jesus with spices. They were on their way, and it's Sunday. It's resurrection day, but they don't know it yet. And Mary was worried. We read in the text, she said, who's going to roll this heavy stone away from the entrance of the tomb? How are we going to do this? We're just, you know, we're three women. We can't move this massive stone. If you've had a chance to go to Israel, you may have seen it. It's like a big wheel. It's massive. And they arrived and the stone's already rolled away. And for us, there's excitement in that because we know the end of the story. But for them, horror must have gripped them, right? They must have thought, well, someone's come and stolen the body or worse. And they rushed inside in the tomb. You kind of got to bend down and lean in to get in. And they rushed inside. And when they got in there, they saw the angel that we read about. He was wearing a bright white robe. And the angel told them that Jesus isn't here. He isn't here. He's risen just like He said He would. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? Can you imagine experiencing that? We've all read about it, kind of grown up every Easter hearing that story, but what would that have been like? The angel told them to run and tell Peter and the disciples that Jesus was on his way to see them. Can you even imagine this moment? For a minute, I know we've heard it, but stop and just think about this. The fear, the excitement, the utter emotion that took place. You see, this one moment, the reason we make such a big deal out of this is that this one moment changed history. This moment changed everything. Because Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection, it made it possible for us to be saved from our sins and be in a relationship with our Creator once again. I saw somebody on Friday, and they said something I'd never really thought about, but it makes total sense. They said, you know, we celebrate Christmas, but Christmas would mean nothing without today. Without today, we wouldn't even know about Christmas. The birth of Jesus was awesome, but the resurrection of Jesus proved that he was who he said he was. It changed how we come to God. It changed when we worship. It gave us power to live a life of godliness. Jesus' death paid for our sins, but his resurrection is what gives us the power. The resurrection changed everything. I don't think, as I've been growing up the years in the church, that I even understood how powerful this is. And one of the things that it changed, of course, was relationships. The things that matter the most to us. Now, the last time we saw Jesus and understood much of him and the disciples, they were in the garden following the Last Supper, right? Remember what happened? The guards came and they ran and they'd been pretty much hiding ever since. Now Jesus appears to them. He's resurrected and they're forever changed. Now think about this. These men who were hiding, they were hiding because they were afraid of being killed, suddenly become men of power. And they were used to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Why? Because they met the resurrected Christ. Their relationship with Jesus, they moved from being timid and feeble followers that just kind of barely got by to being powerful leaders. The last time we saw Peter, you remember this? He was denying Jesus. They were beating Jesus, and he denied three times that he even knew Jesus, just like Jesus said he would. And I don't know if you know this passage or not, but after Peter denied Jesus, this is what the Bible records in Luke 22. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Can you imagine? I don't know that blankety blank. And then all of a sudden, Jesus turns and looks on Peter. Can you imagine? And Peter remembered the word of the Lord saying how he'd said to him, before the rooster crows today, you'll deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. That's where we left Peter before the resurrection. This is Peter who said, even if these other disciples will deny you, I won't. And he did. Imagine the shame. Imagine the broken relationships with the other disciples. He probably thought, I'll never come back out. And now Jesus, the resurrected Christ, seeks Peter out. And Peter is forgiven and restored. And the relationship is mended. And Peter goes on to be a world changer that would affect everything. There's Mary, the Jesus' mother, and his brothers. If you remember, for a while, they had a strained relationship with Jesus. John chapter 7, verse 5 records they even doubted who he really was. And now Jesus from the cross is asking John to care for his mother. And his brother James goes on to write a powerful book in the New Testament that we studied not long ago and become the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. His life changed forever because of the resurrection. And there's people like Joseph of Arimathea or Nicodemus that came to Jesus by night. We read about that. And he's caring for the body of Jesus and following the resurrected Savior. You see, it's the resurrection. The resurrection changes relationships. And it still does. The Bible tells us a little bit about this. If you can find it, just one more place I'll have you turn is in Colossians chapter 3. And it tells us a little bit more about the idea of this resurrection. Look what it says, Colossians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, just listen. I'll read it for you. But it says this. He starts out with an idea of the resurrection. He says, therefore, verse 1, if you have been raised up with Christ. In other words, if you have embodied and understood and embraced the resurrected Christ, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you've died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, so then you'll be revealed with him in glory. So therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to, and then he makes a list of things, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come on the sons of disobedience. And in them you once walked, when you were living in them. You were also, but also he says, put aside anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech from your mouth, and don't lie to one another. Since you've laid aside your old self with its evil practices, look at this, and you put on a new self that's being renewed in the true knowledge of the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freeman, for Christ is all and in all. So, he says, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so should you forgive. In these verses, I don't know if you picked up on it or not, but we read about the changes that the resurrection makes. You see, a person cannot come in contact with the resurrected Jesus, the resurrected Christ, and remain the same, remain unchanged. When you and I come into a relationship with God through Jesus, we die with him and die to our old life, and we're resurrected to a new life. We're going to celebrate baptism in a few moments. Many of you are here for that. Paul writes about baptism and that idea in Romans 6. He says, therefore, we have, look, been buried with him in baptism unto death, so as Christ was raised from the dead, resurrection, through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. You get it? It's because of the resurrection. He says it here in verse 1. If you have been raised up with Christ, if you've been raised, if you've been in a relationship with the resurrected Christ, your life and your relationships and the things that matter the most to you change. That's why the resurrection matters so much. He begins to talk about those changes, and I'll just show them to you quickly. He says, first of all, you begin to seek. He says in verse 1, keep seeking the things which are above. Now, if you're in a relationship with God through Jesus, as we've already said, you've died with Christ. This is a matter of identification. This is something we must remember. He describes it in here. We're dead to our old life. And Christ's death, as you know, not only paid for the penalty of our sin, but it broke the power of our sin. That may be the most powerful thing you'll hear today. If you're here and you're stuck in an addiction or you're stuck in a destructive pattern of life, is that Jesus' death paid for the price for our sin, but it also broke the power of our sin. It has no more power over us. And the resurrection gives us the ability to live a new life. We've died with Christ and we've been raised with him. That's what Paul writes about in Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I've been crucified, I've died with Christ, and I no longer live, but I've been raised again. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, seeking things that are above. Listen, eternal life doesn't begin when you die. Eternal life begins when you meet Jesus. Your life begins brand new. And that resurrected Christ affects everything, including the relationships of your life. I love what he says, keep seeking. Live in the power of the resurrection. Paul writes that in Philippians 3:10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. There's power in the resurrected Christ we celebrate today. And then he says, you're to set. In verse 2, he says, set your mind on things above. What does it mean to set? Well, like tuning a radio or setting a station, you focus your mind. You're intent on the things that are above. Not allowing the things around you to distract you, but thinking about Jesus. Paul writes in Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure and lovely and of good repute, if there be any excellent or anything worthy of praise, think about, set your mind on, dwell on these things. Think about those things. And then he tells you to sever the old relationships. Look what he says in verse 5. He says, because you've been resurrected, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. The old life is dead. And then he describes this. He says in verse 7, in them you once walked, but now you've met the resurrected Christ, and you can't be unchanged. You can't meet the resurrected Christ and remain unchanged. So he says, consider yourself to be dead to your old life, put to death. And then he gives a list of things like immorality and impurity and unbridled passion and evil desires and greed and idolatry. And every one of us know that that list is a short list of the things that destroy our relationships. He says in verse 7, he says, and in them you once walked. You were living. That's how you were before you met the resurrected Christ. It's time to sever those. And then he says, because of the resurrection, it's time to put on the new. He describes this in verse 10. He says, and having put on a new self, being renewed in a true knowledge. Put on a new self. Be renewed, be changed. It's what David prayed in Psalm 51 after his terrible sin with Bathsheba and sin of adultery and murder. He says, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. The old for the new. According to the image of Christ, he said. That's what we are to be renewed in. Well, in verse 12, he says, when we do this, he says, we begin to put on things like compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. In verse 13, we begin to become forgiving. And again, as you're thinking about relationships, you know that those things like love and compassion and humility and gentleness and forgiving are the things that make a relationship really work. Do you understand? I mean, meeting the resurrected Christ and letting him control your life changes everything about you. It changes everything about those critical relationships that you have in your life. So how? What's this look like? How does this change our relationships? Well, let me just show you quickly. In verse 14, he says, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You see, when we allow the resurrected Christ to be in control of our life, we begin to love people. We love our husband. We love our wife. We love our friends. We love the people around us like we never have before. You kind of learn how to love correctly. That's what this means. 1 Corinthians 13 describes what that looks like. Love is patient and kind and forgiving, keeps no record of wrongs. All of those things start to happen in our life. And he says in here, it brings unity. Unity into your relationship, love. In verse 15, he says, it brings peace. He describes this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body, and be thankful. Peace. Peace that comes from Christ. Many times the reasons our relationships look like they do is because our heart looks like it does. But when we meet the resurrected Christ, he says he will rule. The word rule there means arbitrate. In other words, act like an umpire in the relationships of your life. That's what happens with the resurrected Christ when you let him control you. Verse 16, he says you're going to have wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, within you, and wisdom, and all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness, he says. Wisdom. In other words, God's word begins to control you or dwell in you, he says, and you live in wisdom rather than foolishness. Let me ask you, how many of the relationship faux pas in your life have been because of foolishness? The resurrected Christ gives you wisdom to deal with those things. And then verse 17, he says, you'll be thankful. He says, with all thankfulness in your hearts, whatever you do in word or deed, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him, to God the Father, thankful to God, thankful for the life that he's given you, the changes that Jesus makes in your life. Well, let me ask you, how do you relate that to your relationships? Well, the answer is this. The resurrection changes relationships. Many of us in this room have been struggling in our dating relationship, in our marriage, in our parenting. We've been struggling with our friends and at work. And the secret to those relationships lies in knowing the resurrected Christ. I've really seen this in my own life. I've witnessed this. Yesterday, we had the privilege, our kids' ministry put on an egg hunt, and it was so much fun for me to be there. It was fun just to be there, period. But when I got the privilege of being a part of the team that started this church 11 years ago, and so there's so many folks that I know really well. I was telling someone the other day, yesterday, that, you know, one of the advantages of having a little smaller church is that you kind of know everybody. And it was such a privilege to stand there and talk to parents and see kids and people as they came by. And if you were with me, I wouldn't have said it, but I could have. I could have pointed to one and said, you know, that guy right there, he used to be addicted to drugs, but Jesus changed his life. He met the resurrected Christ, and now he's not like that anymore. Now he's got three kids and his life's different. I could have pointed to somebody else and said, you know, that guy right there, he used to be depressed. I remember talking to him, but he met the resurrected Christ, and now his relationships with people are different. I could tell you about kids. I could tell you about people. I could tell you how the resurrected Christ changes things. I've seen this for real. The resurrection makes all the difference. I wanted to do this series at Easter because I hope it's coming out. I'm trying to get it out right because I know in my heart there are so many of you, and some of you I don't even know, that I hurt for. Because the things that matter the most to you are the most broken in your life. And Jesus, the resurrected Christ, wants to change them and renew them and restore them. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, you know, you went through Colossians 3 kind of fast, right? And it's kind of a stretch, isn't it, Tim? I mean, how are you going to apply the resurrection to relationships in this way? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Because if you have your Bible open, you can look in verse 18. And Paul says, because of the resurrection, verse 18 and 19, it affects and applies to your marriage. And then in verse 20 and 21, he says, because of the resurrection, it makes changes in your family. And then in verse 22 through chapter 4, verse 1, Paul tells us how it changes our work relationships. And then in chapter 4, verses 6 to 18, he talks about how it changes our relationships with our friends. And that's what we're going to talk about over the next 4 weeks in this series. We're going to walk through marriages. We're going to walk through families and parents and kids. We're going to talk about work relationships. We're going to talk about friends. And we're going to talk about answers for how the resurrected Christ can truly change that. Not just preacher talk, but real stuff that can change where you live. So let me ask you, any of those relationships in your life need a little bit of work? Well, if so, don't miss the next 4 weeks because we're going to talk through how the resurrection can change every one of them. The resurrection changes everything. And the greatest thing the resurrection changes is us. You see, the secret to the change in our relationships is really a change in us. Because if a husband and wife are struggling and God changes one and yet both, the marriage changes. If parents and kids are struggling and the resurrection changes one or both, they begin to change. And friends and work, it's the story of our change. So let me ask you, have you changed? Have you met the resurrected Christ? I didn't ask if you knew about it. I mean, obviously you're here today, you know the story. But has there been a time in your life when you came into a relationship, not just heard about or knew about, but you came into a relationship with the resurrected Christ? Ask another way. Are you 1,000% sure if you died, you'd go to be with Jesus? Well, you can be. That's what changes relationships, knowing the resurrected Christ. You see, Jesus came to earth, and he lived a perfect life, and he died on a cross, and then he came back to life. And he did that to pay for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And knowing all that's very important. But what really makes the change is when you meet the resurrected Christ, when you invite him to come into your life. For me, I was 7 years old, and I remember getting on my knees by my bed and saying to God, I know I've sinned. I believe, Jesus, you died for me. And in my own words, asking Jesus to come into my life, be the boss of my life, and change me. And he did. If you've never done that, this is the greatest day of your life. You'll remember this forever, that today on Easter Sunday, 2017, you can invite Jesus to come into your life. You can do it right there in your seat. I know a lot of times you may have been in church that invites people forward, and that's really great, but you know, we're kind of crowded here today, so you can do it right where you are. It's just simple for you in your own words to pray. There's no certain prayer, but for you to cry out, Romans 10:13 says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And for you to just call out and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I do. And I believe you died and rose for me. And then just ask him, will you please come into my life? I need you. My relationship, my marriage, my friendships, my work, we need you. My parenting, I need you, Jesus. And just ask him to save you. There's some of you are here that you know you've done that. You've come into a relationship with God through Jesus. But you've not been living in the power of the resurrection. You've been living in your own power. How's that working out for you? I thought so. Kind of comes up that way, doesn't it? We end up at the end of our ropes like that. If you've been living your life for you, today's a great day for you to remember the resurrection, for you to give the control, the remote control of your life back to the resurrected Christ.